How many of you are young? I'm trying to get you to introduce you to the real Jesus that walked the planet. Some of you think he was a mealy mouth that looked like these portraits of him during the Renaissance that made him look effeminate. Carpenters don't have hands like the hands, those pansy hands that all those paintings put on him. Jesus has just corrected the host. Now, Emily Post would have a great deal of problems with this. But you see, you got to forget old Emmy when you're fishing after people's souls. See, this woman is mourning over her sin. She has become poor in spirit. And now she has gone the second step, having realized she has sin debts beyond her ability to pay, too great for her to ever pay. She is now contrite over it, grieving over it, doesn't know what to do. She is making a fool of herself. She doesn't know what to do. She just knows one thing. Somehow she's got to get to God. That's what she knows. And obviously she has heard and or seen Jesus. And she knows he is a man of God. She may not know everything about him, the full extent, but she knows he's not like the rest of them. Enough and to the point that she's willing to make this big a fool of herself. That's how high she regards Jesus. Do you see that? Her willingness to degrade herself is in direct proportion to how she pictures the value she has placed on Jesus' person. As low as she is willing to place herself, that's how high she sees him on the other side of that seesaw. Or she simply wouldn't do it. She has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no greeting, no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. She's beside herself. My head with oil you did not anoint. These are all common courtesies that you would do to anyone in this day, in this society, when you invited them to your home. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. My feet. See, you wouldn't anoint my head. She has anointed my feet. How many of you understand that's more humbling to get down at the feet? Now, I want you to understand something real quickly. Jesus is not teaching her works or saving her soul. See, Simon cannot see what's in her heart. Simon cannot see faith. Faith. You can't see faith. It's one of those intangibles. What Simon can see are her works that are the evidence of what's in her heart toward Jesus. And so Jesus is pointing Simon. If Jesus starts telling Simon about this woman's great faith, he's talking about something that's beyond Simon. It's over his head. He'll miss the point. So he's pointing Simon to something he can relate to, that he can smell, taste, touch, and see. Her works. In other words, these works are the outward evidence of the true devotion and repentance and her faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. Uh-oh. See, Simon thought he had an intellectual reason not to give Jesus his total allegiance as Messiah. He thought he had an intellectual reason. This man, verse 39, were he a prophet, would know what manner of woman this is that touches him. Notice Jesus didn't interview her. He now says, this woman her sins, and they are many, whom Simon's intellectual problem with Jesus just got zapped. He can't walk out of there anymore. He can't go around up and down the street anymore saying, you know, I have intellectual problems about Jesus. I've been devastated this badly in my life a few times. There have been a few times in my life when something happened that so... I thought I had everything in place. Everything was just as I thought. And all of a sudden, the whole bottom just fell out. Something happened, or someone said something, or maybe it was a problem I was working on, some kind of math problem I was working on, and I just was so certain I had it, and I'd solved it, and all of a sudden I got to this one point and saw I transposed backwards. And I mean, and I'm right at the front of the blackboard telling everyone how brilliant I am and why we're going to make a fortune with this thing, and I get right there, and I see it, and nobody else does, and just petrified. How do I get out of this? See, that's what's happened to Simon. When Jesus said, this woman, her sins, I tell you, and they are many. Simon thought he had everything in control. He had Jesus all figured out. He had life all figured out. His method of salvation based on works was all worked out. Suddenly the bottom just fell out. Jesus undid him. To give Simon the real opportunity to become, hear this, poor in spirit, so that he, having seen that and gotten honest with himself about that, could take the next step. Mourn over it just like this woman. Oh, Simon isn't going to have to kiss his feet. Anoint him. You don't have to go that far. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, she knew what a great sinner she was, and when she was confronted with it by God, it devastated her. And she realized she had nothing to pay. Watch this. Verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now let me tell you, I love Jesus. I love Him for so many reasons, but one of the reasons is He just doesn't seem to know, by everything I've been taught, when to shut up and be satisfied with the victory that He's gotten up to this point. You know what I mean? Zach, if He stops right there, everyone's going to say, wow, what a man. Wasn't that a great juridical parable? You know, boy, that was a great example. Had us there, didn't he? You know, chook, chook, either horn hooked us. But now, but you see, I'm trying to make a point. Some of you constantly are around friends and relatives, acquaintances that are lost, and you keep pussyfooting with them about it. You keep trying to sneak in on their blind side, working with them 6, 8, 10 months to say something to them about the man upstairs. Because, oh, you've heard the lie. Oh, if you're talking to a Jew, be sure not to say anything to him about Jesus because that would offend him. Isn't it funny? When I read about all the Jews in the Bible that talked to other Jews about Jesus, they just said he was the Messiah. I said, boy, if you do that, it'll offend them and they won't believe it. So be it. Pussyfooting isn't going to get it done either. No, first they'll say, oh, you have to earn their respect first. No. Listen to me. Most preachers I ever heard when I was lost didn't ever earn my respect. I believed I was the most brilliant man on the planet. You couldn't earn my respect. I looked down my arrogant, prideful nose at everyone. How could they earn my respect? I believe they only believe the Bible because we paid them to. Listen, you don't understand Alexander the Great. I did. I just couldn't figure out how to pull it off. That was my frustration. I saw that everyone that tried to rule the world had gotten killed. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't figure out how to do it without dying for it. Listen to him. If Jesus just hadn't said the next part, that's the part you're afraid to say. When you're given the gospel, it's the part that's going to really lay it on the line. It's not whether you do it. The important part is also how we do it. There's a way to tell someone. You can tell someone the hardest news they've ever heard and tell them as gently as possible, but without any compromise. See, when he said, her sins, which are many, if he'd have just stopped right there, he'd have been in good shape. But then he did it. He blew it. Not really. Her sins are forgiven. Uh-oh. That is when he got into the trouble. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Right. She doesn't even remember I forgave her the dime. Bill remembers the 25,000. You say something bad about me 10 years later, she may not get too upset about it. Bill, you better watch out for her. Good grief, did you see what he just said? He just referred back to verse 41. It's my job to do it to you. Look back at verse 41. There was a creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500, the other 50. When Jesus just said, they are forgiven, for she loved much, for to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He just said, he just blabbed it. I'm the creditor in verse 41. Do you see it? I'm the one you all owe. I am the creditor, and I forgive her huge sin debt. Kaboom. Understand, when Jesus says this, no one is going to leave this table and go out in the street afterwards and say, my, wasn't he a charming fellow? Wasn't that pleasant? You hear what I'm saying? Listen to me. Beloved, you don't have to be a jerk when you tell people the truth about sin and that there's one way, Jesus. You don't have to be a jerk about the way you do it. But I want you to understand that when we're honest and upfront and straightforward, it always works. No one ever comes in this room and hears me and leaves and walks out that door. Not one of you will leave tonight and say, wasn't that charming? No, you can do that at the boys at the Glass Cathedral, but not in here. I won't let that happen. I am going to force you to see the issues about the wonders of Jesus. And that is going to burn. For some of us, it will rejoice. And I do. I read this and I rejoice. I'm a boy. Oh, I love it. I mean, man, just deep down I well up and say, behold, this guy's worthy. For others of you that don't know him, you can hardly tolerate me right now. And that's just the way it should be. A man of God should be loved and hated and nothing in between. There is no word in the Hebrew for like. I mean, for this is like that, yes, but not I like her or I like him. The concept doesn't even exist in Hebrew. You hate them or you love them. That's right. And love isn't an emotion. It's something you do. God said, help your neighbor. So you help him. You loved him. Because you did what you were told to do. Verse 48. You did see that, didn't you? Verse 47 screams back to verse 41. Simon, behold, I would like to introduce you to who I really am. I'm the creditor. And you and this woman have great debts. Hers, Simon, are greater than yours. But the difference is, she perceives it, you don't. So she's not blind, and you are. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, Americans, listen to me, Americans, you know why we don't understand? Some of you are sitting there saying, golly, I see it, but I wonder why he saw it and I didn't see it. It isn't because I'm wonderful and spiritual. First of all, God called me to be a teacher. It's his job, if he called me to teach me where I can teach. Think about it. But let me tell you the other part. You're Americans. You're not used to this. Europeans despise our jokes because Americans' jokes, we don't catch it unless the punchline spells every detail. Europeans despise jokes like that because to them, see, there's got to be a catch. There's got to be a little thinking. There's got to be an intellectual moment where you perceive the point. And Americans, we hate those kind. You know, we don't want to be the last guy that laughs. Indicating, you know, we were the last guy to catch on. What I'm saying is there is a way that we have been brought up to think, that Europeans have been brought up to think differently, where a European would have caught this much quicker than we would as Americans, apart from revelation by the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking about based on pure intellect, they're training in how to think. Now, they're trained to think a lot of screwy ways and other things, I might add. I've lived there, and I don't want to swap. But in this respect, more of them would have caught this connection than you do. Yet, Larry, when you see it, isn't it precious? Whew. I'm trying to introduce you to what Jesus can say about himself without saying it, as a Texican would have said it. See, this isn't the way I would have said it. I would have said, Simon, did you notice? Back in verse 41, I would have made sure, you know, I'd have spelled it out like I did for you. What I'm saying is, Simon's background was more like the European. Simon caught it. This is the point. Jesus wanted him to catch it, to bring him to a moment of truth. Now it's time to talk to the woman. We don't even know her name. Never do know her name. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Woo! Key word, thy. Didn't say, Simon, yours are forgiven. You know, it's amazing what God can say by what he says and what he doesn't say by what he didn't say. Thy sins are forgiven. You know that pronoun, thy. I mean, you know, you're in a room. Listen, I know how these things are. When I was in Alaska, I went up there on a new job with Tenneco, and I was the first guy they'd hired in geophysics. Tenneco in those days didn't hire young men out of college. They pirated geophysicists. They would allow large companies to hire them out of college and spend 5 or 10, 20 years training them, you know, and spend all that money when they're not very productive. And then, when they got around 40 years old, then they would go offer them more money than the company they were working with and pirate them away. Well, they had just gone to the computers in enhancing geophysical data. And I'd had a special year of training with Texaco, and Texaco didn't pay me enough, and I knew that I was valuable in the marketplace. So I got a job with Tenneco, and they sent me to Alaska, and I go in a room, and I'm 29 years old, and everyone else is 40 and up. And, you know, I'm the computer whiz kid to them, you know, and everything I say, you know, and I was the butt of their joke. They didn't understand anything on their geophysical records that was written over on the side that they had done to the things. They just blindly tried to interpret it. But I could look over there and say, well, good grief, no wonder it looks like that. Look at the filter they use, you know. Well, they should have enlarged. They should have done a Fourier analysis here, and all that kind of junk. I knew. So I was talking a language they knew nothing about. And I can remember how much they disdained me over it. And we would have little things like this happen. there would be six of us in a room, seven of us in a room, and someone would say, Bill, Coop, Jim, Bob, Pete, Frank, let's go to coffee. None of those were my name. There was a movie sometime back on a book called The Outcast of Poker Flat. So what I'm trying to tell you is, things like that happen to you. Well, when you're an arrogant jerk, those things will happen to you. I remember a few weeks later when they finally decided someday they were going to work for me. There was a change in attitude. One guy came down and asked if we could start all over. And I told him yes. And he felt so relieved and he started out the door. I couldn't let him go. I said, by the way, all those snide little sayings that you guys thought were over my head that I was missing the punchline on, I caught every one of them. I said, I didn't come in on a turnip green train from North Mississippi. He said, well, Floyd, you don't look like a vengeful person to me. He was trying. So I understand exclusion statements. I've been burned. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. That's a two-edged sword, isn't it? Comfort for her. Peace. Joy. But for Simon, the exact opposite. And Jesus, in saying this, has claimed authority to forgive sin. Woo! If only he hadn't done that, they could have left and said he was a charming person. Did you see it? Jesus never let you do it. And I'm so glad. Now we see that there's a bunch of people there. Look, if you would, at verse 49. And they that were eating. Aha, there's a they. There's a they. They that were eating with him began to say within themselves, three critical words, who is this? You could just put a period there. And that alone, for those of you in this room that have never been born again, right there is all you need to answer. That is the juridical question for you. Who is this? But it goes on, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, he had to say that because he had commended to Simon her works. He couldn't leave Simon and the rest of these lost men at this table thinking you could earn your salvation by works. He had to make sure they got what it was that saved you. Her faith. Listen. Her faith in what? The gifts of the Holy Spirit? No. That's not what the story taught. Her faith that there were purple people eaters on Mars? No. I'm drawing you to it. I'm wrestling with you now. Her faith in water baptism? No. Did you observe he didn't say, quick, honey, head for the water. There's plenty of verses that teach you ought to be water baptized, but not to be saved. It's because you are. All right, honey, seek some mystical experience. Didn't say that. He didn't say, your faith and your works have saved you. That's what the Catholic Church would have inserted there. The whore of Babylon. I told you you wouldn't leave and say, wasn't he charming? He didn't say, your faith... Look at that. How many of you know? Look up here. Boop, boop. Has. See, hath. We don't talk like that anymore. We don't say haths. The English modern equivalent of that is has. Can any of you read English? Do you believe it? I didn't ask you what your doctrines were. I asked, can you read? English. Not Greek. I didn't give you a hard job. Your faith has saved you. Some of you, if you could just believe that, you could really sleep tonight. It didn't say your faith has saved you if. No, that's what you thought. That's what your denomination may have told you. That's what some paperback may have told you. It is not what Jesus told her. But faith in what? Faith in water? Faith in the Catholic Church? Faith in purple people eaters? Faith in what? Did you notice the whole thing? Look back with me in verse 38. She stood by at his feet. Did you see the word his? Look at that pronoun. Woo! See, I'm telling you that because you used to hate English. His feet, behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet. Faith in what? Yeah, you got it. Faith in him. Her faith, this whole story, if you were watching, her faith was not faith in faith. That's heresy. The Bible never says have faith in faith. Faith's a verb. They're trying to make a noun out of it when they do that. Verbs point you to nouns. Power, action words. It was faith in Jesus. It was her faith in him that did it. And he forgave her sin. Now that's how easy it is. Notice what happened in the story. And let's just talk for a few minutes as we want to wind it down tonight. I want you to hear a few things. I want to try and be quick as I can because I've said the main thing that I really came to do. Nope, I left my pocket dagger in there. That's the sword, that's the dagger. Listen to me. We saw a biblical example of a woman mourning. Blessed are those that mourn. Mourning over her sin condition. Now what you see from the story, that just what Jesus said in the Beatitudes is exactly what happened. She was comforted. Can you imagine? Come on now. Jesus audibly speaking to you and saying, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. I mean, we've all experienced, those of us that are born again, we have experienced that, but doggone it, she got to audibly hear it. Fantastic. Far out. Behold. Beloved, there's another kind of mourning, and I want to make sure that you understand the difference. There's another kind of weeping. There's mourning over unsatisfied lust. Illicit mourning. For example, in the book of Samuel, David had a son named Amnon who had a lust for his half-sister, Tamar. And he wept because he couldn't have her until finally he got so angry about it, he raped her. That's not the kind of mourning we're talking about here.